proactive moves. So, just figure out.
Good evening and welcome to tonight's Monroe City Council meeting. This is the regular business meeting for June 28th, 2016. The time right now is 7 p.m. Ms. Moot, will you please call the roll?
Certainly. Council members present and establishing a quorum are Cuddeback, Rasmussen, Camp, and Davis.
Thank you. If I recall, Councilmember Scarborough had already reported that he would be out this evening. Have we heard from Councilmembers Hanford or who am I missing?
Gamble.
Gamble. Thank you.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
I hear somebody.
Okay. Councilmember Hanford has just entered chambers, so if we could let the record show that. All right. Let's go ahead and Councilmember Camp, will you lead us in the pledge, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. All right, special orders of the day. The first item that we have on our agenda then under that is the City Council seating arrangement. So if you recall, we updated the rules of procedure. Council updated the rules of procedure a couple weeks ago, and part of that was for council members to select their seating arrangement. So, Ms. Smoot, do you by chance have a list of the seniority so that we can go down by way of seniority? Or do you have a proposal on how to
don't
do this?
Say it. I do not. Okay. However, I am certain that council knows their seniority, and I would suggest that if there's equal seniority, that perhaps you decide amongst yourselves or go alphabetically or flip a coin or something of that nature.
And I would, being a Thomas, I would suggest flipping a coin because those of us later in the alphabet always end up last. So. Whalen, of course, would definitely be there. All right. So, who's been here the longest?
Yes. Councilmember Cuddeback is our senior most member of this council.
Okay.
Not quite the words he used earlier.
But similar. And more polite. More politically correct.
Now that the microphone's on.
Of course.
All right. Councilmember Cuddeback, what would you like to say?
I'm fine right here.
Okay. Who's next most senior?
That would be me.
Okay. Councilmember
I will take Mr. Gamble's seat in the future.
Okay. Why don't you go ahead and move to that seat now?
Well, I was going to wait till, rather than make it look like musical chairs, I just thought I'd announce that, and then we can change everything next week.
Oh, for next week. Oh,
right.
Okay. We do not have a meeting
Hanford
next week.
Hanford wants to move.
No, we're moving right after.
All right, I'm moving.
Yeah, ready.
That was the agreement.
And that's what I understood, too. Oh, great. Who's the next most senior?
That's me, and I will take Councilmember Rasmussen to see
you. Okay.
Okay. Oh, man.
Wow.
So, Councilmember Camp, will you move, please? Councilmember Rasmussen, flip with Councilmember Hanford.
Yeah.
All right.
Councilmember.
So then we have Councilmember Davis and Gamble. Where does Gamble?
Gamble what? Started early.
Okay.
You can have
scarves. Well, the view is so much here long. I'm going to stay out of the way.
Okay, so we have Councilmember Gamble and also Councilmember Davis left. Since we don't know if Councilmember Gamble is going to be here this evening, do we want to wait to finish this until he's here?
No.
Okay. All right. Councilmember Davis, where would you like to sit?
Right here.
Right there. All right. And that just leaves Councilmember Scarborough. Oh, I'm sorry.
Rasmussen.
Councilmember Rasmussen, right, where would you like to sit? Wait. Oh, that's close. Okay. Good. All right. So, Councilmember Gamble.
Right there, but someone had to mess it up.
All right. So, let's go ahead and put Councilmember Scarborough there for now. And let's put Councilmember Gamble here for now.
This could be on YouTube.
And if Councilmember Gamble would like to switch positions with Scarborough, we can do that. All right. Gamble has a choice when he comes. We went ahead and put Councilmember Scarborough there, thinking that Councilmember Gamble probably doesn't want to have the LCD projector shining over his head. So if we're wrong, we'll deal with that. All right. Next up on the agenda then is announcements and presentations. We have a proclamation that I'll be reading in for Parks and Recreation Month. So proclamation, Parks and Recreation Month. Whereas parks and recreation programs are an integral part of our communities throughout this country, including Monroe, Washington, and whereas our parks and recreation are vitally important to establishing and maintaining the quality of life in our communities, ensuring the health of all citizens, and contributing to the economic and environmental well-being of a community and a region, and whereas parks and recreation programs build healthy, active communities that aid in the prevention of chronic disease, provide therapeutic recreation services for those who are mentally or physically disabled, and also improve the mental and emotional health of all citizens, and whereas parks and recreation programs increase a community's economic prosperity through increased property values, expansion of local tax base, increased tourism, the attraction and retention of businesses, and crime reduction. And whereas parks and recreation areas are fundamental to the environmental well-being of our community. And whereas parks and natural recreation areas improve water quality, protect groundwater, prevent flooding, improve the quality of the air we breathe, provide vegetative buffers to development, and produce habitat for wildlife. And whereas our parks and natural recreation areas ensure the ecological beauty of our community and provide a place for children and adults to connect with nature and recreate outdoors. And whereas the U.S. House of Representatives has designated July as Parks and Recreation Month, and whereas the community recognizes the benefits derived from parks and recreation resources, now therefore I, Jeffrey Thomas, recognize the month of July 2016 as Parks and Recreation Month in the City of Monroe, Washington, and encourage residents, businesses, and visitors to seek out City of Monroe parks facilities and participate in recreation events. We do have here this evening, in addition to Mr. Farrell from our Parks Department, we have two Parks Advisory Board members. We have Board Member Whalen and Board Member Kinney here, and I'd like to invite all three of them to come forward and all council members to come down with me to hand them this proclamation. Thank you. So, on behalf of the grateful community, thank you both for everything you do and Parks Advisory Board. You do a lot to improve the park facilities we have, the recreation programs we have, and we appreciate that a great deal. For the staff, there's a lot that you do that you bring to our community that is so much more than just, you know, public safety. You create quality of life, and it's something we greatly value. So thank you very much. I'm going to go ahead and let the two of you come right up here as our Citizen Advisory Board members. Mike, come on in. They're all kind of close. Yes,
paparazzi.
Okay. You have to show. Thank you.
I'm
waiting. Thank you.
Welcome back.
Great. Great. Thank you very much, everybody.
Let everyone found their right spot again.
All right. The next item that we have on our agenda is comments from citizens. This is a time set aside for members of the audience to speak to the City Council on any issue related to the City of Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matter subject to a public hearing. Public comment is limited to 3 minutes per speaker. And Ms. Smoot, has anybody signed up to speak? Okay, you are not required to sign up to come forward to speak. Is there any member of the public that would like to come forward to speak to the City Council this evening? Okay, seeing none, we'll go ahead and move on to the consent agenda. Council? Council member? Oh, we get to... The stickers say different names. All right, Councilmember Rasmussen.
Motion to approve consent agenda.
Second. Okay, I have a first from Councilmember Rasmussen, a second from Councilmember Camp. This is going to take some getting used to, everybody. Any discussion on the motion to approve the consent agenda? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 5-0. Thank you. The next item that we have on our agenda is unfinished business. This is unfinished business item number 1, AB 16092, discussion MMC 5.03, admissions tax. And is this Ms. Nelson?
This is just a continuation of the discussion that council has been having. Some additional background information has been provided in your packet, and I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you. Council members, do you have any questions? I was not here for the presentation, so is there any discussion and direction to the mayor and staff regarding potential amendments to the Monroe Municipal Code at this time? All right, council members, do you have any questions or comments? Okay, it looks like we don't have any direction at this time. Oh, sorry, Councilmember Cutterback. Thank you.
Well, I guess I'm still kind of mulling about when curious if council has, because we had some discussion last week and the week before, and we asked for more information, and it seemed like the consensus was come back with a couple options and maybe amending it. And looking at these different options, I guess I'm not in favor of getting rid of what of the admission tax. I mean, if you look at our revenue from the theater, I think I'm not in favor of that. When I look at the city of Bothell, they have tax for movie theaters only, but all others are exempt. Not necessarily in favor of that, because if you look at City of Snohomish adult entertainment, I wouldn't want that to be exempt. So I guess I am interested in doing something. I just haven't made a decision on whether it's per class, or what we had talked about last week was possibly having a revenue cap. So businesses that are under a certain annual revenue or monthly revenue would be exempt, and that gets rid of the class issue, but it really helps small businesses who might have high revenue every month be exempt from this, and we're already currently not necessarily collecting it from some of those small businesses, so we're not missing any of that revenue. But if we change something where we get rid of this altogether, the movie theater tax would be hit. So I'm curious if other council members thought about those different options. So.
Councilmember, and I hope that I got the names right now. Councilmember Kim.
Thank you. So what's the admission fee at the movie theater? Do you know? Right, the admission, the admission tax, I'm sorry.
Oh, it's 5%.
5% of, trying to think, I just went and saw a movie last Saturday. So that's more than a dollar, I think, per seat.
That's 5% of $11.
So it's less than, okay, so I was just looking at the city of Marysville admission fees of a dollar or less are exempt from the tax, which would exclude the theater at that rate. I agree. I would like to find, if there was a way that we could set up a class for smaller organizations and businesses, but then we fall into the possibility of an adult entertainment not having being exempt from the tax as well. And I spoke to the attorney last week before we did that. I don't have a solution for this at this point, or even a recommendation of what we could do. Maybe if we had more time to think about it. But I don't know what what timeline or what time restrictions we may have for it. Whether or not we need to get this thing settled sooner rather than later, and if there's any repercussion from that. That's all I have right now. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford?
Thank you. Yeah, I agree with Councilmember Cutterback. I'm waffling between option 2 and 3, so if there's a way to direct staff to explore both options to kind of give us more information to make a decision with, I feel like that would be helpful. I don't know, Diane, if that's...
What kind of information would you like? I'm not sure what you need.
So, the The minimum threshold below which the admissions tax would not apply is option three. And so is that like, are you saying like a minimum revenue per year, like an annual revenue of $100,000 or less?
Well, that would be up to council to decide. And you could either say gross revenue or net revenue, because some businesses gross a lot, but they only net a little. So you could do it that way, or you could say that. As you can see on the comparable examples in the packet, some cities just take the ticket price and say the ticket is below a certain amount, it's exempt. So you could do something like that.
Okay.
It's basically whatever you want to make it.
Okay, and then on option two, can we say businesses that are in the class of only for young people, or how, like, what do you mean by classes? How exactly can we distinguish
it? A class would be a type of business.
It can't be for young people or for old people or.
Well, you would have to be a little more specific. You could say recreational for young people, because, like, an educational, you know, there's different types of business. So you could say. Any recreational or entertainment but by young people you would mean like people under 21 or?
Sure.
Okay.
That's how we would do it.
Decide to. But yeah, you can describe a class of business like that.
So we can create our own class.
Mm-hmm. I believe so. I mean, well, of course I'll run it by Zach,
sure.
Our city attorney, but I believe you can.
So, if we created a class, I'm just thinking out loud here. So if we created a class for what you said, recreational under 21, is that specific enough to where the movie theaters or the wakeboard events, things like that, they would not be able to say, well, half of our people are under 21.
That would be hard to enforce. As you notice, one of the cities there has exemptions for specific activities like archery, batting cages, and you could say something like that. You could say bouncy houses.
You can get that specific.
Yes, you can.
That's all for now. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Cutterback.
So I guess I'm leaning towards taxes for movie theater and adult entertainment only. And could you do that for those two classes? And I know that then changes it for the wakeboard park, which we've discussed, still not open. So it hasn't factored into our budget yet. Maybe that's a way to keep the cost down for residents to use the wakeboard park. But those are the two, because by doing it that way, we keep what we have in our budget whole right now, which is, I think, important, but it also includes another class that I think is important to include, and that's for the admission tax. So, but then it's, I see where you're going with the age, but I would, because then that, it's like half the movie theater tickets would be mm-hmm. exempt, but half wouldn't. Mm-hmm. Because you have a lot of kids' movies. I mean, you know, like the kid price, they're under 21. So I think that would have an impact on our budget. So that's what I'd be leaning for, is that, you know, a tax for movie theaters only and for adult entertainment. All others are exempt. And then I guess we have to think about that for the wakeboard park, if that matters to the rest of the council members. That's not as important for me at this point.
Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. The only issue I would have with something like that is you're really lumping the movie with adult entertainment. The other thing I'm concerned about is, since it's a revenue source, why just the movie theater if there's some other big event or thing that comes up? why wouldn't we be collecting admissions tax? And I can see the theater owner complaining that, well, you're taxing me, but you're not taxing this other organization. They're almost as big as I am. It seems like there's a lot of questions that we have here. I was wondering if we could pass this to the Finance Committee and have them do a review, because it really sounds like it's not something that we have the time for on council to dig in as deep as we could without spending several hours on it. Whereas I think the Finance Committee could dig in a little bit deeper, work with the city staff, and come up and with the city attorney and make sure that we're not stepping out of bounds, and also we're not eliminating any revenue sources that could impact our budget or being really unfair to others. Go ahead, Diane. I'm sorry.
I'm just a little concerned about timing. The Finance Committee will not be meeting again until September. Okay. And right now, we are not enforcing the tax in this business. And state auditors will come after us for not enforcing our own municipal code.
Okay.
The reason we're not is because we are in the midst of discussing changing it. It kind of doesn't pass the giggle test to the state auditors if we say, yeah, we're talking about it for, you know, 6 months.
But if we have, again, this is an issue that we've just discovered, we're working on it, and because of time constraints, the Finance Committee would not be meeting until September. Can we set up, or would the auditor have an issue with us keeping things as they are right now with any significant change until we can come up with a policy that's equitable? Okay.
I just know that my job is to...
Oh, no, and that's fine. If I, you know, I'm asking beyond your scope, then I apologize, but...
Councilmember Camp, you still have the floor. Mr. Brazel.
Go ahead.
I would agree with Director Nelson. We have it on the books, and we're, you know, we're bound to live by those rules right now.
Right.
And so, you know, my recommendation that they pay this tax until such time is changed.
Okay.
And again, it is a pass-through. So.
Okay. You still have all of that. Councilmember Camp, Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. I'm willing to look at options and explore that a little further. I said it last week that I, you know, tend to want to be consistent across the board. So, you know, once we start restricting types of businesses or levels of business and so forth, we tend to start creating loopholes that we eventually have to later plug. And, you know, we see that enough. And I guess that's what I don't want to start doing by, you know, excluding some types of businesses but not others, or, you know, doing it for this way because of others. So that's really my big concern in all that. I get a lot of comfort in seeing the comparison of our 5% to the other cities and across the county, and, well, I guess the state actually, and we're right there. Granted, some cities have caveats and of different restrictions, but for overall, I mean, we're right there with everyone else. So I take a lot of comfort in that. I really. You know, I guess I just don't want to cherry pick on who's excluded and who's not, and try to keep it as consistent as possible. In regards to the wakeboard, my concern, with all due respect, is in excluding them, is that was one of the, if you want to call it a selling feature when they presented to council, was the revenue. Even though we're not receiving it, we don't have it in our pockets right now. That was one feature that was, I recall, being very well received during all those presentations, was that revenue. So, excluding that kind of takes that away in to some degree. So those are my concerns. We're right there in line with everyone, with the rest of the city. I mean, sure, we can tweak it a little bit. And then I guess the other thing is really this has been no secret, it looks like. I just want to make sure that we're consistent across the board. So that's all I have.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Councilmember Davis.
Yeah, so this is getting more complicated. I was thinking about, I think you mentioned a graduated scale type thing, less than, you know, maybe 1% for those people below 100,000. But now we're creating something that we have to check and verify, and we're going to be looking at people's, I don't know, taxes and things like that, whatever. I don't want to be creating something that's more complicated or grows more complicated, and I don't, like you said, I don't want to be coming back to this and fixing it every so often because we're creating a new monster every time we do something. So, you know, what do we do? You know, I kind of, I would like to see us maybe, if we could identify this, the company as, or a group, whatever it is that we come up with that sort of isolates the smaller businesses or the field that they cover, the, you know, I don't know, athletics or whatever, you know, instead of having a laundry list of things that are exempt. Just having one category that was exempt, and I wouldn't have a problem with exempting that from the tax. I don't think the smaller companies aren't going to make that big an impact to our revenue. Something like the theater, why do we tax the theater? Well, there's a lot of revenue stream coming in from that, and they do pass it on, and it's everybody's used to that, and it's not an issue. But I don't want to be creating issues where there haven't been in the past. What I can't put my finger on is what how can we isolate that group and separate it from everybody else? Because I don't want to exempt everybody except theaters. I agree with you about the theaters only thing. That's easy, but that's not fair, and not fair to the theater for certain, you know, or the moviegoers. So I'm kind of at a loss as to exactly how to approach this, and there aren't a lot of examples from the other cities of how we might craft it for our particular needs. So the tight place we're at now, and this is, I would like a little more time to maybe investigate a little bit more, some other ideas, or at least talk about how you know how we could come up with a category that we could isolate. But we really need to do something, don't we? Because if we don't, then we put ourselves in a position where we don't want to be with the auditor. So.
Well, tell me if I'm interpreting this wrong, but I'm suggesting what if I go to our city attorney and ask him if it's legal, because I don't want to get in trouble with age discrimination, things like that, to create a class of business that, okay, you're saying a small business, by small you mean gross revenues, annual gross revenues?
I would say.
And for youth and recreational, if it meets all three of those criteria.
That's kind of what I'm thinking along, yeah. And it would be gross income.
Okay.
Sure, I do.
And I'll see if there's a definition that has muster.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be acceptable to council if I
Hi.
Get something like that?
Mr. Davis has yielded. I just am curious about calculation of gross income. So is it would be up to the business owner to provide us with the information. We're not going to go out and do any fact checking to make sure that they're
they're really not a $1 million company and they're saying we make $200 less.
We would require them to submit some kind of either a tax statement.
Okay.
Or, you know, most small businesses are privately held, so, we would ask for some kind of tax.
Okay. What I don't want to see is us becoming essentially policemen for the financial records of the city and putting more work on your department to verify this. If they, if like you said, they bring up last year's tax statement, that would be good for the year.
It's like for our low-income disabled discount for utility billing. The people have to supply an annual statement, mm-hmm. so they get the discount. So it would be the same kind of thing. We would just ask for that.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Davis.
And if we fix it on the gross income, then we don't get this variety of different figures. Gross income is gross income, no matter what your tax comes out to, because you have deductions here, there, and everywhere.
Gross would change it. Anything else.
Right.
Yeah.
So that it's just a solid number, and it is what it is, and then we can look at it on a chart and say yes or no. Yeah. So just to finish up, I would appreciate that, and we can maybe look at this, maybe doing something relatively quickly here, like within a week or so. Not next week, because I won't be here. But yeah, in 2 weeks. So. All right. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
I'll yield to Councilmember Cutterback.
Councilmember Cutterback.
Yeah, I was going to agree. That's what I had brought up last week, was having the gross revenue and above a certain amount, taxing that, and then below that either a 1% or just exempt if it's below a certain revenue. It's just, again, how easily is that information. I'm not sure how the youth recreational fits in with that. If it's just a hard line, it's revenue only, it's above and below or exempt, and then... So I would be in favor of that.
Okay. So it sounds like staff will be looking into alternatives that are focused more on gross income as opposed to the per se use. And so you'll be looking at an approach that would be focused on an exempt level based on gross revenue as opposed to looking at a use. A per se use.
Okay, so not the recreational or youth oriented, just like
right.
Gross.
Was it just gross, or was it gross plus use?
Mine was just to make it simple. It was just gross revenue, okay. And leaving it at that.
Right.
But I did hear the youth recreation.
Yeah, I think it'd be worth asking
and seeing what that looks like.
Okay.
Okay. Can I ask a question, right?
Councilmember Kemp.
Thank you. So you have this cutoff gross level and it's adult entertainment that's below it. That's why I like this idea of using the having youth oriented or something that our city attorney feels that we can do without getting into any constitutional issue.
Yeah.
That would be the only concern I'd have about just strictly going with gross revenues.
Yeah.
That's all.
Okay, so we'll look at gross, and we'll look at gross plus use. All right, anything further? All right, thank you. The next item that we have on our agenda this evening is new business item number one. This is AB 16093. Authorize the Mayor Pro Tem to sign 2016 Evergreen State Fair Traffic Control Services Agreement with Snohomish County. And as I've stated before, I am going to recuse myself from this, and please let the record show that I'm recusing myself, and we'll be handing this over to Councilmember Quebec. Thank you.
I'll be here for 30 minutes.
30 minutes. Let the record show that Mayor Thomas has exited the council chambers. So we're looking at authorized Mayor Pro Tem to sign 2016 Evergreen State Fair Traffic Control Services Agreement with Snohomish County. Chief Cleanser.
This is a contract for the Monroe police officers to provide traffic control for the for the Snohomish County Fair. It's the same contract that you've seen for those of you who've been on the council for a number of years, probably for the last 12 years, with only adjustment in the maximum amount of money that can be spent.
Any questions? Councilmember Camp, you have your hand up.
Thank you. I would like to move to authorize the Mayor Pro Tem to sign the general service agreement with Snohomish County for traffic control services during the 2016 Evergreen State Fair.
Second.
There's been a second by Councilmember Camp, a second by Councilmember Davis. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Had to count.
Okay. The next item on the agenda is new business item number 2. This is AB 16094, ordinance number 010-2016, Evergreen Heights, final plat, planned residential development, FPLPRD 2016-02, first reading. Mr. Osaki.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, ordinance number 10-2016 would, if approved, approve the final plat for Evergreen Heights, subdivision, preliminary plat, planned residential development. And you, as a city council, might know this plat better by the name of Hoserman, so it's changed names since the time it went through the preliminary plat for the city council last May. It's a 71-lot plat with frontage on Roosevelt Road. As is the case with all final plat applications, the application comes in, staff reviews it against city code and all the conditions of approval for the preliminary plat. If those boxes are checked off and the applicant has done the improvements and or bonded for the improvements, it comes before you for action. So the applicant in this case is Quadrant Homes, and I'm just going to say they have been a pleasure to deal with, and the requested action is that the city council approve the first reading ordinance number 10-2016.
Thank you. And before I call on the first person here, we do not have a council meeting next week. The next council meeting would be on the 12th of July. Council has the ability to modify the requested action to waive the rules of procedure for first and second reading and to make this final reading. So did I get that right?
Sure.
Okay. So that is an option that council has so that council can consider making a final decision this evening rather than waiting until the 12th of July. Councilmember Rasmussen.
I guess I'll throw it out there to make a motion to waive council rules for first and second reading.
Second.
Okay, first from Councilmember Rasmussen, a second from Councilmember Camp to waive the rules of procedure for first and second reading on the requested action in this agenda item. Does that sound correct? Okay. Any discussion on the motion? Councilmember Hanford.
Just a quick question. Was there a time constraint for getting this done by before the 12th, or?
I don't believe there's a time constraint, other than I've never met an applicant or developer who wouldn't prefer to have something done sooner rather than later, but is there a specific time constraint? No.
Okay.
Other than there's no council meeting next week.
Okay, thank you.
All right, there's a motion on the floor to waive the rules of procedure for first and second reading. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 5-0. Thank you. Is there a motion to approve then? Councilmember Rasmussen.
Make a motion to approve accept as first and second reading ordinance number 010-2016, approving the final plat for the Evergreen Heights subdivision, FLPPRD 2016-02, setting forth supportive findings, providing for severability, and fixing a time when the same shall become effective.
Second.
We have a first from Councilmember Rasmussen and a second from Councilmember Cutaback to accept as first and second reading of ordinance number 010-2016, approving the final plat for Evergreen Heights subdivision, FLPPRD 2016-002. Setting forth supportive findings, providing for severability, and fixing a time when the same shall become effective. Would that be the motion that staff would agree for this to be approved, to accept as first and second reading, or does there need to be a formal approval in the motion? Liz?
That would be sufficient.
Okay.
The intended motion there is to adopt this ordinance.
Okay. All right. I have a motion and a second. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 5-0. Thank you. Next item on the agenda is council member reports. We didn't have any committee meeting today, so we'll just go ahead and go down the line. First, I did hear from council member Gamble. He was not able to make it this evening. Because of child care. So without objection, we'll go ahead and consider Councilmember Scarborough and also Councilmember Gamble as excused. He's also indicated his willingness to sit here rather than underneath the LCD projector. with that said, we'll go ahead and move on to Councilmember Camp. Councilmember Camp.
Oh, that's odd. Like you said, it's going to take some getting used to it. I was fortunate to be able to attend part of the emergency radio thing on Saturday. It's really nice to see people again. And it's really nice to note that they have that we have that capability here. They did have questions about the bus, and I saw that. And I just thought that was interesting. The other thing is, I was reading on Facebook that a lot of people are really happy that Tierney's open.
Yes, it opened at 3 today.
Thank you to all the city staff and everything. Everyone to you who got that going, and we have a bunch of happy citizens. And that's it for me. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Davis.
Nothing today.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Nothing tonight.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
Yes, thank you. Last week I attended the AWC conference, annual conference that was in Everett. And so that was very enlightening. Very glad that I went on that. And I'll have to tell you about some of the things I learned another time. I was not able to attend because I was at the conference, but my wife attended the opening day of the farmers market. And
Huge
success in her eyes, and from the things I've seen on social media, it looks like it was a great event. I look forward to attending myself. Let's see here. I think that's it.
Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Cutterback.
Was it last Thursday night? Yeah, the Snohomish City. So attended with Councilmember Hanford and Camp to help elect the AWC board. So that was an interesting process, and they were trying to amend the bylaws to allow to have no years in on council to sit on the board, but that didn't pass, so there's still 1 year. They were trying to extend it to 2 years. That didn't pass. They tried to amend it to 0 years on council, but what ended up was you needed 1 year experience on council or in an elected position in order to run for the board. So that was an interesting process thing there. So involved in that. So I think that's about it.
Okay. Thank you. Out to staff, Mr. Farrell.
Well, thank you, Mayor. There's lots going on in the parks. It's summertime, school's out. There are sports camps. There's other camps going on in the parks. The farm table market, as mentioned, those are on Wednesdays from 3 p.m. to 8 p.m. at Lakeside Park through September 7th. Between now and the next council meeting, the Pro Wakeboard Tour will be Saturday, July 9th. And there are little cards at City Hall and also the Chamber of Commerce that people can pick up, and they have on the back $5 off the admission to that event. Skate park is progressing. It's starting to take shape now, as you may notice looking at it. So it is on schedule and expected to complete that project by the end of July. And gosh, I think that's about it.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Farrell? Yes, sir.
That is not it, actually.
Okay.
I want to let you know that we have an employee in the Parks Department. His name is Orville Pearl. You may have seen him. He's the one that you'll see landscape islands, the roundabout, downtown, taking care of all the flowers. He does a lot more than just take care of the flowers, but that's one of his passions. Well, he has worked for over 26 years for the city of Monroe, and he is officially retiring. So his last day is this Thursday, and tomorrow there is an employee luncheon, and during that luncheon, I'll be making remarks and be honoring his service to the city of Monroe.
Are we invited? Are we invited?
Yes, you certainly are.
Yes. Can you send an email off to the council, let them know what time and everything?
Sure. Yes, 11:30 tomorrow. Barbecue.
Thank you. Any other questions for our director? All right. Ms. Nelson?
Nothing tonight.
Okay, any questions for finance? All right. Dave? Mr. Osaki?
Not so much a report, but I just want to give you a little advance notice of a permit application that's going to come before the City Council in July. And it's a rezone with a concurrent preliminary plat application, so they're being processed together. But in light of the council cancellation of the July 5th meeting, and my understanding is that the council typically cancels the first meeting in August due to National Night Out, we're going to try to suggest or recommend to council that the rezone and the preliminary plat be considered by the council and completed during the month of July, those 3 weeks that are available. And to do that means that we will come before you July 12th with the rezone ordinance, and we'll be recommending that the city council, should you choose, again, waive the council rules of procedure and pass the rezone ordinance at that particular point in time. Now, certainly you as the city council have the option of not doing that, or for that matter, denying the rezone. But we have to get the rezone approved because the preliminary plat depends on the higher density allowed by the rezone. And then the preliminary plat will come to council at your July 26th meeting. And I think what we'll try to do is get you the information about the rezone application a little earlier than you might normally get it in your packets, so you have some time to actually look at it.
Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. Yes, that was my question. Is there any way that you could email to us well in advance? So,
yes.
Thank you.
Anything further?
No. So I'll try to get to you the information by the end of this week at the latest.
Okay.
Would you like to update? Would it be appropriate to update council on hiring a senior planner? No.
Oh, well, it's one of those, like. So, as you know, Melissa Place left the city in mid-March, and we've been recruiting, and finally offered a position to somebody who accepted, and she starts July 5th, the senior plan position.
That's on Tuesday.
So that was going to wait until she actually showed up.
There's not going to be a meeting next week, so I wanted council to be aware of the fact that we have a new staff member out of the Planning and Community Development Department beginning on Tuesday.
And it's someone I've known for about 10 years, so I feel pretty good about this.
Okay. And what we'll do is staff will send you an email as to the person's name and everything on Tuesday next week when they start. But I just wanted you to hear that orally here rather than wait till next week. Councilmember Hanford.
I can go when everybody's done. I have one more thing.
Okay. Do you have anything further, Mr.
No.
Osaki? Okay. Councilmember Hanford.
Oh, so I forgot to mention that when I was at the conference, the Housing Hope had a booth, and they were passing out flyers for their affordable housing conference. Have you seen this?
No.
So you're on the cover here. This was the day that the grand opening in Monroe. They're using this picture as their flyer for all over. And you and I are going to go on there, and former Councilmember Tony. I don't think anybody else is visible. But
thanks for pointing that out. We owe ice cream.
Yeah, I brought extras. I brought extras for you. So.
Oh, cool. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right. Chief.
We are looking forward to this weekend, 4th of July weekend, with great anticipation. My understanding is there's a possibility of rain on 4th of July. We're actively trying to find someone to seed the clouds so that actually happens.
Yeah.
But I, like I said last week, we
bringing on two extra officers on overtime just to address fireworks issues that night, and hopefully that will be successful in that. So,
thank you. Any questions for Chief Quinzer? Okay, seeing none, let's come on up here. City Administrators, report.
Thank you. I have a list. Okay. So I'm going to run back to the land sale update. As you know, we have an offer in play on parcel 7, I think it was. It's been sitting around for a long time. Because of the use that they're being proposed, we're working with Lowe's to get their approval for that use because they have say over certain things. Jane's been working with them for at least a month now. She corresponded with me today and isn't really getting anywhere. So she put in more calls today. I told her, let's wait till after the holiday, and if we don't hear back from them, then I'll put Zach on the case. So anyway, our hope was to work as out of this friend with friends and not get the attorneys involved, but sometimes you got to do that. So I'll let council know if we step up to that. Last Friday, Ben and I attended a leadership conference. Republic Services had a table at Microsoft for a leadership event and offered us two spots. We grabbed them up because a lot of people were on vacation and couldn't attend. It was phenomenal. It talked about cybersecurity and all sorts of innovations that they're working on. And then they talked about bridging generational gaps. They had like a motivational speaker there that was really good. So that was good. Skip meeting this morning, still talking about Sound Transit and talking about dues. The state of the county address is tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. at Xfinity Arena in Everett. I don't know if anybody's planning on going, but I will be there representing the city. And just an update on utility tax. You may recall seeing an email or mention it here that Roosevelt Water Association had some customers that were inside the city limits and were not being charged the utility tax by Roosevelt, and that's a pass-through that goes back to the city. We notified them of that, Director Nelson did, and they didn't feel it was applicable to them. So their attorney wrote us a letter, and Zach quickly responded and educated them why it's applicable, and they sent us a check yesterday or the day before. And so they're paid up, and they'll be paying their utility tax pass-through from here on out, like they're supposed to. And that's it.
Okay. Any questions for our city administrator? Seeing none, my report, I've been on vacation the last 2 weeks. It's the first time I've been on vacation for that long, I think in about 3 or 4 years. So staff, please, directors, please go back, let your staff know I appreciate all the work that they've been doing, as I always do, especially while I've been gone. Directors, I appreciate everything that you've been doing too, Chief. And Gene, I appreciate everything that you've been doing also. So thank you very much. Council, everything's still running. I love the new chairs, the new tables. You opened up Turney Place. You got a lot done. So thank you very much. And our Mayor Pro Tem, thank you very much for holding things down also in my absence.
So. Yeah. She has out my age, just so you know.
That sounds good. Well, I'm done. So we do not have a city council meeting on July 5th, next week. And I think that, does anybody have any questions for me? All right, we're going to go ahead and move on with the agenda.
Thank you. July 12th, 2016 is massive. Start out the evening with Mr. Dan Christensen. He'll be here reporting out. We have a consent agenda under new business, talking about transportation improvements at Blueberry and Kelsey. And we'll be looking at adopting impact fee deferral system. This is the first reading. Our final action, we will not be doing Evergreen Heights because we knocked it out tonight. Resolution amending master fee schedule. Then authorize mayor to sign agreement for outdoor sculpture that's down at the intersection of Main and Lewis. Iron Eagle rezone, this is the first and final reading. Then setting a date for consideration of Iron Eagle preliminary plat. And then council member reports. Any additions or deletions?
Or we bring back the
Councilmember Hanford, and then Cuddeback, and then Camp. Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. I just want to confirm we are, the Legislative Committee is meeting on the 12th. That's my understanding. Thank you.
We will bring back the admissions tax, so thank you.
Okay. Councilmember Kim.
I'm sorry, Councilmember
No, she tapped out. To know about the admissions tax.
Oh, okay. I'm just curious. So the reason that we're doing the first final reading because we only have the 3 weeks for to complete this plat proposal, is that right? For an Iron Eagle, we're doing a first and final.
That would be the one I was talking about, yes.
Okay.
So the plat has to wait almost 2 weeks later before we can support you.
Okay, I'm just curious why we're doing the first and final reading on rezone to that. That's right.
So one of the things that crossed my mind when we were discussing the preliminary plat for Evergreen earlier today is that we are in the construction season right now.
Yeah.
And I did see signs up for Evergreen Heights for, you know, model homes. Every couple weeks that goes by, especially with council not having a meeting on the 5th, not having a meeting on the first Tuesday in August, you know, you're in the middle of the building season, you're approaching the next time where people will be buying homes, and you need to have plats and lots filed in order to be able to sell the lot. So it's, you know, at the end of the day, it's council's, it's your discretion as to whether or not to do it. It's our job to identify the tools and the opportunities, and, you know, that's all we're doing is here's something for council to consider. Is waiving the first and second reading on those.
Well, that's right. And normally we are very cautious about doing this, as was pointed out. So I just like to have a second look at whenever we go down this road. I want to make sure that we're that's appropriate and we're not just taking a shortcut just because we can. That's all.
Understood.
Thank you.
All right. Anything further? Okay, extended agenda.
Any additions or deletions on the extended agenda? Thank you.
Okay. We have no further business this evening. Councilmember Hanford.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
First to adjourn from Councilmember Hanford, a second from Councilmember Rasmussen. Any discussion on the motion to adjourn? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes 5-0. Thank you very much. Have a great 4th of July.
Yeah.
We're adjourned.
Happy 4th.